weekend weather every 15 minutes. Now back to an Ask the Expert weekend on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio WHIO.
Good afternoon and welcome our listeners to this 4th of July Independence Day broadcast, weekend broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery and we're from Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, right across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'd be glad to discuss any firearms-related issues or concerns that you might have. If you'd like to get on the air today, give us a call here at the studio at 457-1290. That's 457-1290, and we'd be more than glad to get you up on the air and answer any questions you might have, help you with any issues. This is a pretty interesting week. We've got a number of things we want to talk about today. I want to begin the show just by I'm going to defer to Mark here in just a minute. Governor Kasich signed the two bills that we were very interested in whether or not we're going to make it all the way through, and we were pretty optimistic about that. And this last week during a ceremonial signing, the governor signed the bills into law, and they will go into effect, we estimate, somewhere late September, early October. Mark, you want to tell them a little bit about those two bills and how things went?
Well, the two bills were Senate Bill 17, which was the restaurant carry and car carry bill. And that will change the way that you can carry in your automobile if you have a license to carry a concealed handgun. It'll basically remove all the restrictions on all the methods that you can use for carry. We still recommend that you carry in a holster and or some other secure method as opposed to just sticking it in your pocket or clipping it inside your pants. But you know, if that's the choice that you want to have, it'll no longer be illegal for you to carry that way. The other thing is that it will allow those who are not consuming alcohol to go into a restaurant or bar that has a liquor license, as long as that door is not posted, as long as they have not chosen themselves to put the store off limits, you'll be able to carry as long as you're not consuming alcohol. So those were the two major changes. Obviously, the later of those were the ones that got the most press, got the most ink, and got the most angst from all quarters, from the liberal media, from the Ohio Restaurant Association, from the anti-gun community, talking about what's going to happen with Wild Wild West and blood running in the streets, with all basically the same arguments that they used back in 2003 when Ohio was first considering, well, was coming to closure on, that was by no means the first time it was considered, but coming to closure on having a concealed carry law and being able to get a license to do that. They made all of those same arguments back then. Over the last 7 years, none of them have come true. But that isn't something that would deter them from making the same arguments again. And in fact, it didn't. So they've made all those same arguments. And we are going to once again show that they're scary things that just simply aren't going to happen. The other bill was a restoration of rights bill. That's House Bill 54. And what that bill does is align Ohio law with federal law. There has been a provision in Ohio law to have your rights restored if you had gone through the legal process and had some conviction on your record that kept you from being able to own, possess, or carry a firearm. There was a procedure for you to have your right to keep and bear arms restored. Unfortunately, there was a small little detail in that that was one area where rights were still restricted, and that was in carrying or owning and possessing firearms that fall or anything that falls under the category of dangerous ordnance. Basically, that means automatic weapons. There are some other things, but most of the rest of them aren't firearms. And unfortunately, in Ohio, the definition of automatic weapon includes magazine capacity. So if you had a magazine that could hold more than 30 rounds, and had that in the gun, and that gun was then considered an automatic weapon, you would be prohibited from possessing that on the original definition of the way rights could be restored in Ohio. So the Supreme Court ruled that if you don't restore 100% of the rights to firearms, then there are no rights restored, and you are still prohibited. Now that bill will, when it goes into effect at the end of September or early October, that will eliminate that one restriction. You still probably would not be able to get a permit for dangerous ordnance, So it doesn't really change anything except that it does change the way rights are restored. It doesn't include that in the rights restoration aspect of it. And so now we will align with federal law and people who have gone through that process and thought for years that their rights had been restored and that they could carry will now actually be able to go and buy a gun. Exactly what the procedures will be to implement that, we don't know yet. But that will be something that will be worked out over the next 3 months. So those were the two bills that have been signed, and there were others, of course, as well, but they're not relevant to our show, and that's kind of where we are. So we'll know exactly what happens. The bills have been delivered to the Secretary of State. The question then becomes, at what specific date will they go into effect? And we don't know that yet. Our estimate is probably the 30th of September, based on when they received the bills and when other bills that have come in at roughly the same time have been identified for when they would go into effect. But until they post it on the Secretary of State's website, we won't know exactly. It's going to be in the area of right around the time of the 30th of September.
As usual, Mark, I want to thank you for that very detailed and summative overview of those two bills. And,
too many words again, huh?
Likely course. No, actually, when you read through those bills, you can easily get muddled down in some of the language, and it's good to have a five-minute summary of what it entails and the course of those bills. And we'll keep you advised as to the progress and that things are moving in the right direction. I also want to remind our listeners that we will be on the air for a special 4th of July broadcast of Shooting from the Hip on Monday, the 4th of July, from 8 to 9 a.m. And then in conjunction with the Second Amendment Foundation's National Shooters Training Week, we are going to have the range will be open on Monday from 10 to 2, not our regular hours of 5 to 9, but from 10 a.m. to 2 following the show. And we want to extend an invitation to our listeners out there and to our members, to other shooting enthusiasts, to come on down to the range, see what we're all about. We're going to give you the opportunity for $25. We're going to spend a little bit of one-on-one or one-on-two or one-on-three time with you and let you kind of work out some of the kinks you might have in your shooting, get you out on the range, let you see what the range is all about. And we're going to throw in a free associate membership for that $25 fee. The associate membership normally costs $75, but for that a charge of $25, we're going to give you some one-on-one instruction. That could be in the classroom. We could talk a little bit more detail about some of the issues, law, the concealed carry law, other related laws, the pending changes, whatever it is that you might be concerned about. We can, if we don't have the answers, we can find the answers, and we want to give you the opportunity to come down and see us, to see our facility, and to train, because I know in last week's show, a couple weeks ago, we talked about getting insurance and things of that nature. But I think the best insurance you can have is good knowledge, good information, and good skill. And we want to kind of move you in that direction. And if you've been kind of sitting on the fence and you haven't gotten the opportunity or haven't made the opportunity, come on out. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate freedom, celebrate liberty, than go to the range and shoot a few rounds in a very constructive way. And then when we're done with that, since you're an associate member, if you want to stay around and shoot, you can go out and do some recreational shooting.
Yeah, for folks that have gotten their concealed handgun license, and maybe that was the last time they were in any sort of a class, this would be a great opportunity to refresh those skills and get a little bit more time behind your gun and maybe find out some of the other opportunities that are available as well. So we'd love to invite you to come down. That'll be Monday, July 4th from 10 to 2. Normally, we're open in the evening on Mondays, but we move to the middle of the afternoon, and that'll free up, of course, evening events for fireworks and all the other things. So hope
Absolutely.
To see you there.
And that just brings up another point. You know, this weekend we get all wound up with firecrackers and fireworks and cookouts and gatherings, and those are all fun. But don't forget to think about our freedoms, particularly the Second Amendment and the freedoms that it affords us. And I can't think of a better way than to get out to the range and do some shooting. We're going to afford you that opportunity on the 4th. In addition, on Thursday evening the 7th, we are normally not open Thursday evening, but we'll be down at the range. And if you want to stop by, same sort of deal, come on in and get some time to view our range and see what we're all about. Check us out, see what kinds of things we can help you with, whether it's shooting, just information, gun selection, whatever the case might be. We'll be there for you. We'll be kind of an informal atmosphere and give you the opportunity to ask us the questions you might have. So the 4th of July from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then Thursday evening, July 7th from about 5 to 9. We'll be down there also if you want to stop by the range. And, of course, we're during our regular business hours next week, which are listed on our website at sim-trainer.com. We'll certainly be there. But those are two extra sessions that we're going to devote pretty much in conjunction with the Second Amendment Foundation National Training Week. We want to afford people who may not be aware of us and who just haven't had the opportunity, a couple of the special opportunities to reach out to us and see if we can help you out.
Jeff, let's go out to the phones and talk to Ken, who's calling from Franklin. Ken, welcome to the show.
Mark, I'd like to thank Sim Trainer, Jeff Pedro, Mark Avery, everybody else down there for supporting and defending the Constitution of the United States of America and what you've done in supporting the troops and myself, and I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Words kind of fail me, and that doesn't happen very often. We really appreciate those sentiments, and we do. We have a passion for liberty. We have a passion for those who have served. I'm one of them, but I was never one of those that was actually subjected to combat. And we do have others around. In fact, one of the guys that works at the range has been pretty severely injured as a result of his work in Iraq, and we understand that there has a tremendous sacrifice. Those who have been willing to join the military wrote a blank check and signed a blank check and said, anything that I have is yours in defense of the Constitution, up to and including my life. And unfortunately, all too many of them have lost their lives. We, at this time, particularly as we're talking about Independence Day and the sacrifices that were made to earn that freedom in the first place, remember that there were those who sacrificed their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to earn for us the ability to be a free country.
Ken, I'd like to also extend tenfold appreciation to you and your unit and for the things you've done, not only overseas, but getting people ready for the training, and in addition to the contributions you've made at Sim Trainer. I know some of the people have had the opportunity to go through some of the training that Ken has put on at Sim Trainer, and he's basically taken the same attitude I have, and he's taken the skills that we've learned, and we're passing them on to people in the civilian world so that they're competent, capable, ready, and willing if situations present themselves. And thanks for calling in today, Ken, and hope to see you here in the near future.
All right, Jeff. I just appreciate, I've been coming there since spring of 05, and you've helped me with that shooting, and it's a perishable skill. And I know everything's first class down there, and thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Let's go out to Roger in New Carlisle. Roger, you have a question for us?
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Happy Independence Day to everyone.
Thank you very much.
Everyone out there remembers the real reason behind it. I have a question for you.
Hang on just a second. Unfortunately, I kind of dropped the clock, and so we need to take a break. But hang on, and we'll get back to you right after break. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. And when we took that last break, we were talking to Roger in New Carlisle. Roger, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mark and Jeff. Appreciate it.
Sorry, I had to cut you off right in the middle of that question, so why don't you go ahead?
No problem. Everyone has to pay the bills.
Yeah, we do that.
I carry a Glock 23, and naturally with a holstered weapon, you can't very easily carry one with a laser on the rail in the front. I've seen a couple different options for lasers on the back. One is a replaceable sight, and the other one sort of mounts on a grip off to the side of the barrel. Do you have any experience with either, and do you have an opinion regarding laser versus no laser?
Well, let's take the first one first. The laser that goes, there's one that I've seen. Somebody came in with one for a class that went into the sight rail. Up on the and basically replaced the rear sight. And the problem that they had with it was that when the gun would fire, the laser would activate on its own. And that is a serious flaw. Now, maybe they've fixed that problem, but maybe it was just that particular gun, or maybe it was the caliber. I don't remember what caliber he had. I mean, the different calibers are going to have different levels of impact and force in the recoil. So that one is one that I found to be not something I would want to try, at least and not unless I could get a 100% guaranteed refund. simply because you don't want that laser to be on except when you are just about ready to designate a target and confirm what you already believe is your correct sight alignment. And the other problem with that particular one is that you had to reach up to the top of the gun to turn it on and bump the switch. So that meant you had to do something weird with your grip. It wasn't going to be natural to come out and grab that laser. So that's one that I have seen. I've had some experience with, and I wasn't real pleased with. Jeff?
I want to just add to that. The other problem with the side mount lasers is when you index your finger outside the trigger guard, it often obstructs the view or the
beam.
The beam of the laser, so that it's not going to do you any good anyway. And then there's one other option. There's a guide rod. LaserMax, I think, makes one that replaces the guide rod at the end of the gun. Now, all of those are options, and that's why I'm going to leave it at that, is options. And I want to tell you that we are, from a combination of training and experience, we're not laser-oriented. And the reason is we find that under stress, you're not going to see your laser anyway. And that proved to be its case under high-level simulation training that we did with police officers for several years when a major manufacturer gave us some for testing and evaluation. And on first concept, they looked pretty good. But when we got out there, we found that the officers, not a single time, remember seeing their lasers. What they did remember seeing is periodic flashes of red light all over the room when the situation went bad in the scenario. The other issue I will tell you, from a training standpoint, there is limited use for us for lasers because we can show the shooter and we can see ourselves some of the problems that manifest themselves when people are first learning to shoot, or when they're, you know, they shot for a while and they have a problem. We can usually identify that problem real quickly, and when we have them turn on their laser, they can see it themselves because it's usually slapping or jerking the trigger and they see that laser going up and down on the target. So as a general rule, I would rather you spend the time practicing with your gun, getting used to using the sights that came with it, and then also learning how to shoot instinctive point shooting, where you're just basically pressing the gun to the target in short, close quarters where encounters are likely to occur, and you're going to spend a whole lot more time with more productive training as opposed to worrying about which laser to pick and whether or not it's going to work when your life is on the line.
The one accessory that we do recommend is night sights. So if you don't have sights that you can see in the dark, which is when most of the violent encounters occur, we do recommend spending a little money and getting night sights installed on your gun. And that, frankly, if you're going to put a laser on, I'd put night sights on anyway, and make sure that you have those in and working well before you worry too much about the laser. And the other thing is, if you've got some, you know, a laser is a tremendous tool for someone that has some sort of a disability, and they need to compensate for that disability with technology. The laser provides a tremendous benefit for somebody, for instance, that can't get a point shoulder shooting position because of maybe an injury to the shoulder, an injury to the hand, injury to the elbow, can't extend their arm fully, and so they need to shoot from a position of a little bit more retention, and so a laser helps them see a little bit better where the gun is pointing. Also, someone that may have visual problems and can't get a clear sight picture for whatever reason, a laser is a possibility that can help them as well. But like Jeff said, that's not something that we typically recommend, but there are some good lasers out there. So, I mean, if that's something that you want to do, the best thing that you could do would be to try one. If you find somebody that's got one, then you can try it with that and see how that works for you. But that would kind of be our recommendation.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. Your advice pretty much goes in line with what a Glock armorer told me. So I think I'll definitely go down that route and at least get a set of good night sights.
All right, Roger. Well, thanks very much for calling the show.
And the other advantage to the night sights are with those of us that are getting older, we have increased ability to pick up our sights even under daylight conditions when you have a good set of night sights, especially the TrueGlow fiber optic.
We need to take a break and go into the news center with Charles Van Sant. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to the show. And I want to remind everyone that this next week, being that it's the Second Amendment Foundation's declared it National Training Week, we at SimTrain are offering a couple of special opportunities. First of all, let me remind you that we will be on the air with a special broadcast on Monday, July 4th from 8 to 9 a.m. And then when we follow that up with some time down at the range from 10 to 2, whereas if you want to stop by and get some special instruction, some time on the range, let us help you with your shooting, maybe talk about some of the legal issues that are currently in effect or pending. And for $25, we will include a whatever kind of instruction you need. In addition, we'll throw in a free associate membership and let you shoot the rest of that day if you're so inclined to do so. We will also be available to you for the same sort of arrangement on Thursday, next Thursday night, the 7th, from about 5 to 9, 5 o'clock to 9 p.m., where if you want to stop by the range, and if the daytime on the 4th isn't good for you, we'll give you an evening opportunity. In addition, you could check the website, and if you want to stop by the range at any time next week, we can make some special arrangements to do whatever training you need, but we want to give you an opportunity to see the range, and maybe we can help you with any firearms-related training issues that you're interested in. I also want to remind our listeners that we have a couple classes coming up. First of all, next Saturday. Next Saturday, we have our two times a month First Shots class on Saturday. It will be offered from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then we will follow that up on the 21st, which is a Thursday evening, where we will offer First Shots from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So next Saturday from 9 to 12, First Shots, and then Thursday the 21st, also a First Shots class from 6 to 9. We also have concealed carry coming up on the weekend of July 16th and 17th from 9 to 5:30 each day. If you're interested in getting your concealed holder's license, you obviously have to take that training. It'd be a great opportunity for you to get in the class. And then finally, for anybody else that wants some basic semi-automatic or revolver training, we have our basic class coming up on July 23rd. That's a basic handgun on July 23rd from 4 to 8 p.m.
One thing about that basic handgun class is if you are looking to purchase a handgun, that is a great way to figure out what works best for you. One of the things that we do in that class is we bring out most of the guns that we have in the safe. In fact, we'll bring out anything that you want to shoot. And then we take it all out into the range. We'll let you handle them. We'll let you shoot them, shoot a few rounds through them. That's really the best way to tell if it works for you. You can tell a gun doesn't work by just holding it in your hand and seeing, yeah, that doesn't fit very well. But until you actually get a chance to shoot it, it's very difficult to tell. Does it feel the way that it's comfortable? Is it something that you would like to shoot enough to be able to train well enough and be good at? So that basic handgun, if you are looking to buy a gun, that's a great way to do that and make sure that the gun that you finally decide to purchase is the gun that works for you. So many people come to us having just purchased a gun. They bring it into the range. They shoot it the first time, and they just really don't like it. And that's so sad, because once you've shot the gun, it's really a used gun. You're not going to be able to get 100% of your money back for it. And it's not the gun dealer's fault. It's just like if you drive a car off the lot, it's no longer a new car, and they can't give you 100% of the money back. So that's the best way to avoid that, is to actually get a chance to shoot the gun that you plan on purchase before you do.
And as part of that, we've made it a special effort to make sure that we have several models of the most popularly requested firearms from Springfield, Smith & Wesson, Glock, Ruger, and Carr in particular. And you can try a number of different variations to see which one works for you. And it gives you a great opportunity to truly try it out before you make a purchase decision, so that you're happy and you have a long-term satisfaction with the gun you purchase.
There's one other offer that's going on right now that Jeff he kind of casually knows about, but since he's not a Facebook user, it's not something that he sees very often. If you go to our Facebook page, which is linked from our website at sim-trainer.com/radio, there's a link to our Facebook page for Shooting from the Hip Radio. There is a deal going on right now where you can show up at Sim Trainer with your cell phone and check in at Sim Trainer, and you and a friend can register for First Shots for the price of one. So if you want to do that and you're a Facebook user, you can go out and register for First Shots and bring a friend for free using that special offer through the Facebook page. So you need a smartphone to be able to do that. You just show us the certificate that you get that's displayed on your smartphone, and then we can register you and a friend for the price of one. Let's talk to Don, who's calling in with a question. Don, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, and what question can we answer for you today?
Well, I'm a combat Vietnam veteran, 1968.
Thank you for your service.
About 15 years ago, I had a domestic violence with my live-in girlfriend. There was like a gun specification on it. I had an MT-22 pistol I was waving around the house. my lawyer told me at the time I could have it expunged maybe 2 or 3 years later.
Okay.
See, I'm not allowed to buy, I don't think I'm allowed to buy a shotgun to go hunting with my brother or nothing.
That is exactly correct. Unfortunately.
Well, I don't have a police record.
Okay.
I'm a pretty decent veteran, Purple Hearts, Bronze Star. I don't have a police record or anything, you know.
Just that one charge. The one thing that you'll need to be able to do, that you'll have to do is, as your attorney mentioned, is to have it expunged, and that's a legal process. You'll need to get an attorney to help you with that. They will review the case. They'll have to go. You'll have to go before a judge, or the case will certainly go before a judge, and they'll make a decision as to say whether or not that can be expunged. Obviously, the longer it's been since the event, and the longer you've been without any problems, the more likely that is to occur. You can only have one in a lifetime. But that sounds like that wouldn't be a restriction for you. So that, I mean, the best thing that we can do is to recommend that you contact a good attorney who would be willing to help you walk through that process. It's not really something that you can do on your own.
Oh, I know that. He told me that I'd have to get back with him and we work it out in a courtroom, you know.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
You think there's a good chance I might have a shot at it or something? Or?
You know, it's really difficult to try to predict that, and it would just be based on the situation of the case and the case that's presented to the judge and what the judge's decision is. There certainly have been people that have had that done, and that's why the concealed carry law was amended to allow expunged convictions to not be considered when you're getting a license to carry a concealed handgun, because originally any convictions, including ones that had been expunged, would also be considered and could be could eliminate you from getting a license, and that is no longer the case. So clearly,
well,
there's.
If I do get it expunged, I'll be able to get a concealed carry or something?
Assuming that was the only thing that would be stopping you, then once it's expunged, it would no longer prevent you from getting a license to carry a concealed handgun.
What about my age and my Army record and no police record or nothing?
Well, all those things are going to figure in, and any time the court makes a decision, an expungement or whatever the case might be, they look at the totality of the circumstances, and all the things you mentioned are going to be taken into consideration along with the facts surrounding the specific incident back when it happened 15 years ago, maybe anything that has happened or nothing that's happened in the last 15 years, along with your character. They take all those things into consideration, and quite frankly, it's strictly up to a judge at that particular decision to say yes or no.
Is it going to be in the jurisdiction where it happened at? Or?
That's going to be where the attorney's going to start, because that's going to be the court of record, and that's where all the information will be obtained. So get a hold of an attorney.
That's going to cost me about $1,000 to get that lawyer again.
Well, whatever that case might be, that's unfortunately the only way you're going to go about it. Thank you for your call today.
Don, thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go talk to Greg in Huber Heights. Greg has a question for us. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I heard Mark's opening summary of the part focusing on carrying in your car. So from what I understand, I've read the legalese with all the sentences crossed out and still can't figure it out. But it sounds like you can basically carry your weapon any way you want. Is that correct?
That's pretty much true, as long as you have a license to carry a concealed handgun, and it's a handgun that you're carrying pursuant to that license. Obviously, it needs to fit all the requirements for carry, but at that point, all of the restrictions on... Currently, there are 4 ways that you can carry. You can carry in a holster on your person. You can carry in a closed case that is in plain sight. You can carry in a glove box or a console, or you can carry in a locked case, and that does not have to be in plain sight. Those right now are the only 4 ways. When the law goes into effect at the end of the summer, sometime end of September, first part of October, then all of those restrictions will go away, and any gun that you could carry pursuant to your license, you would be able to carry that way in the car. It will not affect unloaded carry. It would not affect carry of long guns. It will, if you carry a long gun to the range, you still have to have your magazines unloaded.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect any of that. But in terms of right now, you have 4 legal ways you can carry it pursuant to your license, and that would go away, and there would be no restriction. So that what you read is exactly correct.
As long as the weapon meets the requirements, I mean, any pistols, that would meet the requirement, correct?
Yeah, it has to be a handgun.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, it has to meet the definition of a handgun.
I got you.
A short stock.
The second one is, and I was, Trey, our chief guy was a police officer, but as far as, say, you're driving home, you stop in to have a beer, you lock your weapon up legally in your car, you go have one, maybe two beers, you come out, you're going home, you get pulled over, they smell alcohol on you. You're maybe a .03, well under the legal DUI threshold. And he said that it basically followed the thresholds of DUIs of driving in a car. Is that correct?
No. The issue there is going to be whether you're impaired to the extent that you're...
Right. And I know they could decide that at 04 or whatever.
Well, it's
and
not going to be the level.
Idea. We were just talking about it the other night, and I told him what my guy taught me, and it's not something I would do, but I was just curious about it.
Well, it's not going to be the alcohol level, 0.04, 0.05, 0.01. It's going to be the officer's observations of your behaviors that's
right.
going to constitute impairment in that particular case.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling the show. Those are great questions. And these are things that, you know, people are going to be asking over the next several months, and we will have more information as more things. I mean, like the question on what do you do if you had one of those restrictions, like, for instance, if you had been convicted of carrying inappropriately in a car because you didn't have it in a holster, maybe you had it in a holster that was attached to the vehicle and you got charged with, you know, improper transportation of a loaded handgun. And that's that those things can be expunged. And we don't know yet what the procedures are going to be for that. And that's something that we'll be learning over the next few months.
The other thing, I don't think the law is actually going to have much impact on most people because most people already carry them in the preferred manners, and many of them are in ways that with the four ways Mark just listed, most of them probably carried on their person or in a console or in a glove box. And then there are a few cases where people, because of the circumstances where they're going to go, they may want to be able to stick it underneath the seat or somewhere in between the seats, whatever the case might be. But I think that's going to be the biggest advantage to the gun carrying community. It's not going to have major implications. It just implicates kind of a nuisance restriction on how. And it'll make it a little bit easier for them to make those decisions.
Well, and I think also that really the best way for anyone to carry a firearm they intend to use for personal defense is to have it in a holster on their person, something that you can get to no matter what your position, where you're seated, what your position is in the car. You know, if you've got it carried in a pocket and you've got a seatbelt on, then it's going to be difficult to get to. And if you are carrying in some other method, maybe inside a belt, it's not as secure. You run the risk of accidentally activating the firearm, and we've seen people even in a holster where the equipment failed that you can have a problem with that. So that those are the kinds of things that, you know, we can discuss on the show. And anybody has questions about that, feel free to give us a call at 457-1290. That's the number here into the studio. We're going to take our last break for the hour. And so you can give us a call and get on the board. We do have one call. Tim is waiting for us, and we'll get to him after the break. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to get on the show, we've still got a few minutes left. Give us a call at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number here into the studio. And let's go out to the phones and talk to Tim, who has a question for us. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
How can we help you?
Here's the question. I've got my concealed carry license, and I carry a .380 with me most of the time.
Okay.
The question is, can I have a .40 or .45 locked up in the car?
Sure. You can. You could have it on your person, or you could have it in a console or any other way that you can legally carry a loaded firearm right now, and then when the new law goes into effect, you'd be able to have it any way you choose. But there's no restriction on the number of firearms that you can carry pursuant to your license. Okay.
Yeah. I would say last question. How many?
There is no limitation on the number that you can carry pursuant to your license. So obviously, you know, you're going to have, for anyone that's carrying on their person, there's kind of a physical limit, but otherwise there's no legal limit that says you can't have two guns or three guns. In as long as you have them secured in a place that you have control over, you're good to go.
Very good.
All right. Thanks for calling the show.
Okay, bye.
I just want to qualify that by recommending, as most of you are, that you be reasonable in making that determination as to the number of guns that you have with you at a time, and we'll leave it at that.
And also, you want to be competent with them. So, you know, the more different guns that you have, the more training you're going to need to go through to make sure that you know specifically how to operate those guns and that you are automatic competent, that you are unconscious competence with that gun. You don't have to think about how it works. So, all right, let's go talk to Paul in Dayton. Welcome to the show. How can I help you?
Yeah, the question I had, I heard the guy call a few minutes ago, a couple callers back. Is that the only way that you can get your rights back, is to have the felony expunged, or is there a procedure just to get your rights restored without going through getting the felony expunged?
We're going to have to take that question and get back to you after we talk with an attorney. Obviously, neither Jeff nor I are attorneys, and but we will do that. We'll get that question asked, and we'll get an answer back for you on another show. Rick in Beaver Creek has called. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I got a different question on transportation.
Okay.
If I want to carry a weapon in a case, I don't have concealed carry, but I want to carry it on the bus, and also I want to carry it on the bike path down to Spring Valley. Can I do that?
Well, you can't carry it loaded.
Understood.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the RTA bus has a restriction on transportation of weapons on their buses.
They have a what?
A restriction.
Yeah, they're marked as criminal protection zones, as no gun zones.
So
only the criminals can have gun on the bus.
The bus would not be legal, but riding your bike on the bike path is not a problem. If that was the case.
But if you don't have a license to carry concealed handgun, it can't be loaded, which means you can't have any magazines loaded either. So I'm not sure how much help that would be to you. So
yeah,
we kind of recommend getting a license.
Loading it to location. But you have pistols down there I can rent if I were to come to your place this Monday when you are open.
That's
exactly
right. And for that, I'd like
great.
You to come on
thanks
down and we'll let you try one out.
Let's get back to other customers.
All right, great, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's go out and talk to Joe, who's another listener. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I got a quick question. Applied for a license to carry, had a problem even though it was expunged. It was under the old law.
Okay.
So now I understand I can reapply, but is there a time limit on the class?
You have to apply within 3 years.
3 years now. I thought it was six.
It's the license, the training certificate is good for 3 years for renewal purposes, but you need to have applied for the license within 3 years of the time that you took the class.
Okay, so I got to take another class. All right, thanks.
You're very welcome, and we are out of time, so I would like to make sure that everybody remembers that we will be here on Monday morning from 8 to 9, and then also Monday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. we'll be at the range offering special deals for anyone. So have a great weekend this Independence Day weekend, and we'll see you back on Monday. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290, and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.